All right, let's give Jesus a bigger hand. Thank God for what he's done and what he will do. Amen. All right, now turn to your neighbor and say, you're the rowdy group. Turn to them, say that. They told me, they said the 8 o'clock and the 9, whatever, they're more disciplined, but you're rowdy, all right? I got to say this, we love your pastors, Pastors Mike and Steph. We love them and have cheered them on. When they broke 1,000, I have a conference that I do called 1,000 Plus, and it's for churches over 1,000. And whenever you break it, man, we just go crazy for you because it's a lot of work. And so when they broke 1,000, we were cheering them on. And then 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. I mean, and then he said, man, we're full, we're full. And I was like, okay, we'll see when I get there. You're full. You're every service. This one's almost full to capacity, and the other ones are as well. And I just am praying for what's next for you guys. He was casting vision. He's like, see that field? We want to put a building over there and expand and add more and multi-site. I love the vision that he's just overflowing with. I love the way he asks questions. Have you noticed that? He's question. I'm like, I'm watching the Tennessee game. Just leave me, you know, I'm eating brisket. Leave me alone. Okay, but he's asking great questions. And I know you love your pastors, but can you show your love and appreciation to your pastors right now? Love it. They are amazing. So I love that I get to be here right now at home. I'm preaching via video. I recorded on Thursday, and our church has 9 locations. And what I usually do is I preach either Thursday or Saturday, record it. You know, we have services on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I don't preach live at all. I'll go to a campus, and it'll be on screen, and I'll be on the front row amening myself. You know, like, that's good, preach it, you know. So I'm used to feedback, all right? And then I'll go to the lobby, say hi to everybody, walk around the building, just encourage people. It's allowed me to save my energy, and the church just continues to grow using video technology. Now, you guys will add on here, do more campuses, but use whatever technology you can to advance the kingdom of God and keep growing. So right now I'm preaching there, and I'm preaching here. It's kind of fun to do that. I want to show you a picture of my family real quick. This is my family, and you'll see my wife sitting next to me. I think we're right, there you go. My wife Becca sitting next to me. Our oldest son Connor in the blue jacket, he is on staff. He does all of our, everything from the parking lot until you find your place of ministry. He's kind of over that, our connections. Then you see our youngest son Logan with the hat. He is our 20 plus pastor, runs our college ministry. And that's his wife, Michaela, and love her. We have one daughter-in-law. Connor's still looking, so we're taking applications for Connor, all right? Ladies, all right. So, but my family sends me here. They're excited about this, and they said, do well. We'll hold things together back home, and we're all in ministry together. It's just been amazing to think the church started with 13 people in a Bible study. Of that, only 4 were not related to me, okay? So we only have 4. So I got 9 relatives and then 4. And of the 4 that were there the first day, 2 quit. So I wasn't doing very good as a pastor. And now we've come this far. I'll tell you another thing about our church. We love missions. We love missions, and we've been a strong missions-giving church. And we're trying to send 500 missionaries out of our church, just our church. So we've sent 133 right now. We have 300 in the pipeline. The missionary action pipeline, where they're getting out of debt, getting their credentials, finding out what agency they want to go to and what country they want to go to. We're obsessed with sending people to the 42% of the world that have not heard. That's kind of on our heart. 42% of the world has never heard. And it might even be places that you've been deployed to, but we're trying to send missionaries there. And what's funny is, like, we're sending missionaries out from our church, and then they get on the do not fly list and all sorts of things. But we're just trying to preach the gospel to people that have never heard the message. That's our life. That's our call. And a little bit about our church. We cheer on every church that preaches the name of Jesus, and you're one of them. So know that you have a huge fan from Minnesota that is cheering on what God is doing. Now, I'm going to preach a message here today that the message actually turned into a book. I didn't plan on it like this, but I noticed in my life, God has given me the gift of leadership, and I love to solve problems. And I realized that not every problem was mine, Sometimes the problem belonged to other people, and sometimes they belonged to God. And I realized if I put them in the right category, they would get fixed. Sometimes it was my problem to fix, sometimes it was their problem to fix, and sometimes it was God's problem to fix. And so I started reading the Bible with that in mind and put this sermon together, and they said, you should write a book and call it Fix It. So I did. It's called Fix It. Whose problem is it? Is it my problem, your problem, or God's problem? And I actually, interestingly enough, I wrote this book in Nashville. I had to get away from Minnesota and get locked away. And just so for 2 days, I rented a conference room in Nashville and just wrote the book and worked it all out. And we're selling it afterwards. It's regularly 16, it's 12. And they'll process credit cards. Your church is handling all that. I had somebody like, the early service, they were like, make it out to Roy. Tell him to read chapter 3. Put that in there. You know, so I signed it. To Roy, read chapter 3. You know, so I'll sign it however you want. Some people were buying it for their team, for their spouse, for their kids, whoever needs to fix it. If something hits you in this message, everything I'm sharing is in the book and more. But I also want to let you know, I use this to make my missions commitment. I don't take any money from this. I'm making my commitment to our church missions plan. And so thanks for supporting that. Fix It. Whose problem is it? Whose problem is it? If you get it in the right category, great things will happen. If you get it in the wrong category, bad things will happen. You will not get it, you will not move forward, but you're going to have problems, and just because you have problems doesn't mean you're a failure. Matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have troubles. But don't be afraid. I've overcome the world. He even told us we would have troubles. Okay? He said in Matthew 16, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's like, I'm going to build my church through you guys, through other people that'll hear this message, and the gates of hell are going to fight against you, but they're not going to prevail. You're going to have an enemy. You're going to have problems, and they're going to come to you. I thought in the beginning that if I was a good leader, I wouldn't have any problems. Then I realized if I'm a good leader, I'm going to get all sorts of problems. They would be brought to me, and it would be my responsibility to fix them, the ones that belong to me. So starting with that, if it's your problem to fix, you need to step up and have the courage to solve the problem. When I look in the Bible, I see there's categories of problems. You fixing it, them fixing it, and God. And I realize this, like the disciples in the book of Acts, they need another disciple. Judas is no longer part of it. And what do? They say, we'll fix this. This is my problem. We'll fix it. A little bit later, they have widows that need to be taken care of. And they say, why don't you guys take care of it? You pick deacons and leaders. You take care of that. A little bit later, God breaks people out of jail. He helps them have a miraculous recovery. He helps them get through shipwrecks. He said, I'll take care of the big problems. But the ones that come to me as a leader, the ones that come on your desk, if you lead your marketplace, you lead your unit, you lead in the church, wherever you lead, if you are the leaders, leader problems will come to your desk and you need to solve them. You need to fix them. And the biggest thing you need to pray for is the courage to make the tough calls. The courage and the wisdom to make the tough calls. They come to you and they're yours to solve in life. Sometimes we pray like, God, will you just solve this problem? God, please solve this problem. He's like, it's yours. It's on your desk. I've given you a skill set. I've given you wisdom. Now solve the problem. And we're like, I'm just praying for God to solve the problem. He's like, I'm waiting on you. It's yours to solve. You have to have that courage. A leader will get paralyzed. And you know what you'll want to do? Instead of solving the problem, you'll want to vent. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, man, this problem, it's terrible. It's this bad. It's at work, and I can't believe it. And the guys and the ladies, and they can't do it. And I'm struggling. And I've learned this. When I vent to my wife, after a while, she gets full of vent fluid. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, she's like, well, you're the leader. Fix it. I'm like, thank you. She's like, somebody should write a book called Fix It. Thank you. I did. All right. I'm the leader. You're the leader. You have to solve the problem. Here's what I've learned. If you stall on solving the problem, smart people wonder if you should be the leader. They're like, I see the problem. Do you not see the problem? If you don't see the problem, should you really be the leader? If you see the problem and don't have the courage to fix the problem, should you be the leader? So when the problem comes to me and I see it, I start thinking, I need to fix it and I need to pray for courage. I see this the way Paul is encouraging a young man by the name of Timothy. There's a young man in the Bible by the name of Timothy, and Paul is encouraging him to step up and do what he's called to do. In 1 Timothy 4:12, he says, Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. He's like, get out in front of them. Show them the way it should be done. Step up and lead. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 through 7, he says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. He's saying, Timothy, step up to this. Don't be timid. Don't be afraid. If God has given you the gift of leadership, pray for courage to fix the problems. If they get to you, it's your responsibility. Fix the problem. I know when we started our church, we needed to rent a school. And there were two choices. There was one school that was old and run down. And right at the entry, we had bird cages and, you know, like there's bird poop in the entryway. And I was like, that's not a good selection, you know. Then we had a really brand new school that was just perfect. And I said, I want the new school to start our church in. So I go to the school principal. I said, we want to use this for our church. He said, well, you can only use the gymnasium. That's it. It divides into three sections. You can put the adults, the kids, and the little kids. I said, no, we're going to need more for the adults. I need two sections for the adults, one for the little kids, and then I've got to have other rooms. He said, no other rooms. I'm looking at him like, how can I open with no rooms for kids? So I said, what about the babies? What about the babies? What are you going to do? You're going to put the babies in the hallway? No room for them in the manger? I mean, you know, like, let's go, you know. And he's like, okay. The babies can have the teacher's lounge. And I said, what about the toddlers? He said, that's all you get. And in that moment, I was trying to problem solve. And I thought, great, how are we going to open church with toddlers running around the hall? And then I realized parents of toddlers, they'll check them in anywhere. How many know what I'm talking about? They're like, hey, toddler church is in the mechanical room. They're like, that's okay, give them tools. Let them play with it. They're toddlers. You know, you have a baby, you're like precious cargo. Toddler, you're like, take them. We'll be back at 3. All right, you know. So we open. I had to solve the problem. I didn't have time to call a prayer meeting. I couldn't get a committee together. It was me and the principal. I'm the leader. I've got to solve the problem. Another time, when we opened up our first building, we did our building campaign. We opened up our very first building, and I've sent a mailer to 25,000 people, and the building inspector says, you failed. You can't open. I said, no, we sent the mailer, you know, to 25,000 people. He said, no, you failed. Your bathrooms failed the inspection. They're not adequately vented. They fail. I'm like, we'll vent them. We'll do whatever. He goes, nope, you fail. I said, surely there must be a way. Come on, there's got to be another way to solve this problem. It's you and me right now. What can we come up with? He said, well, what about if you put porta potties out front, I'll let you open up your church this Sunday. I was like, deal, how many? He's like, 10. So I had 10 porta potties lined up at the entryway. Welcome to River Valley Church. Ignore the smell. Come on in, you know, welcome. I just solved the problem. I couldn't call anybody else. Hey, will you solve this? It's me, and I'm in the leadership position. And when you're in those moments, you need courage, you need wisdom. Step up and fix the problem. If you're a leader in this room, I speak courage over you and wisdom. Step up and lead. Use the gift. Fan into flame the gift that's in you by the laying on of hands. Come on, there's something in there. Some of the problems you need to fix. Some of the problems they need to fix. Other people in your life. God did not call you to do this journey alone. He's put all sorts of people around you with gifts and talents to solve problems, and some of them, you need to let them solve the problem. You're actually doing them a disservice if you try to solve their problem for them. I had read about this and heard about this that, you know, I wasn't raised on a farm or anything. I had no clue, but I checked it out at mypetchicken.com. This is true, all right? It said, when you see the chicken trying to break out of the egg, if you help it break out of the egg, you're doing more damage than good. The chicken has to fight its way through that struggle and build the muscles so it'll survive. Don't help. You're actually hurting by helping. Some of you as leaders, you think all the problems are yours and you don't give anything away. You don't delegate, you don't share, you don't empower, and you think it's all on you. That's wrong. You're actually hurting people. You need to let people solve. That's why the apostles, you pick out the deacons. You have to grow in leadership. Pick out people that will take care of the widows in Acts chapter 6. Pick them out. You do this. This is yours. You're going to grow if you do this. Solve this problem. We let people solve problems. 1 Corinthians 12, if you read it later, you'll see that there are gifts. Every one of us is gifted in a different way. God has put us all together, and he says you're a beautiful body, and if everybody comes together and uses their parts and does it right, we'll solve problems, we'll move together, we'll take new ground, we'll do the things that we need to do. Each one of us needs to use our gifts. And one of the greatest things that a leader can hear or a pastor can hear is, I got this. I got this. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. I've got this. I loved it when I called this one guy. I said, hey, we need help in our church. We need a new business administrator. Our money is a mess. Our last guy was bad, and it's a mess. And who would you recommend to do that? He goes, I'll do it. I was like, no, like, you're the best. I was calling you for a reference of, like, somebody you didn't like as much as yourself, you know, that would take over our bad situation. He goes, I want it. I got it. And I was like, again, I just told you we have no money, and we're in big trouble. He goes, I was made for this. He goes, I want this challenge. He goes, I want bigger kingdom impact for the rest of my life. So we hired him, and I was $1 million in the hole, and the church was about 1,200 people. 10 years later, when he just retired, the church was almost 10,000. It had $2 million in the bank, and he's like, I was made for this. I can retire knowing I made kingdom impact. Isn't that awesome? You were made to solve problems. You were made, and the team, we want to give it away. Your pastors, they want to give you the problems. You're like, no, I want to give them to them, you know? No, you were made to have something within you say, I've got this. Our oldest son, Connor, he's in charge of all of our classes, which is our growth track. It's called Next. He was noticing that people weren't coming and they weren't fulfilling it. They'd start it and not finish. So he said, Dad, what if we just did it all in one day, right after church? We did lunch. And right on through, we just did it all, got it one day, knocked out. I said, go ahead, try it, fix it, do whatever you want. He did it, and it went up by like 300% participation. I'm like, what other problem do you see? Fix it. Just fix it. Go ahead. He's like, well, my pay. I said, I'll fix that one. That's me, yeah. I got that one. There's a large group of they out there. Look around the room. You're here for a reason. It's not one person doing all the work. It's all of us using our gifts and talents and fixing problems. God uses all of us to do that. I'll never forget a family came to our church and they solved a problem that I couldn't solve, but God brought them to our church for the very reason that they solved that problem. This is exactly how the story goes, and it's exactly how it happened. It's in the book, and my wife says, I'm going to hold you accurate. It's exactly how it went. I was in the office with our banker, and we needed a building. We needed a building. We were growing, and we just had to have a building. And so I met with him. I said, what do we have to do to get a building? He said, well, I have bad news for you. He said, you know how you started the church on your credit cards? Because I started the whole church on my credit cards. He's like, you still have credit card debt for $100,000, so you can't get a building with the credit card debt, and your tithe is too low. Like, it doesn't fit the math to get a building, and you don't have any money in your building fund, you know? Like, you have to have money in a building fund so you can't get a building. I'm like, devastated. The banker's walking out of my office, and I'm devastated. I'm like, okay. And I see a new family to the church. They've been coming for 4 months. They're a little older, and I'm thinking, great. Banker just killed my dream, and they're going to yell at me at about how loud our sound is on Sunday or something, you know, and how loud the worship is, or that's what I'm thinking, I don't know. But I put a smile on my face, and I'm like, hey, just talking to the banker. See you later, we'll get back to you on the building, you know, what can I do for you? And they said, well, we just want to know what we should do if we were going to write a big check to the church. What should we do? I said, well, get a pen, you fill out the check, you put in the offering, and that's how it works. And they're like, okay, because it's a big check. And I go, okay, so just give it to the business administrator and just like write it out and give it to the business administrator. And they're like, okay, because it's big. And how many know if you tell me 3 times, I got to ask you, right? You know? So I was like, well, how big is it? You know? And they said, the check is for $500,000. We're tithing $500,000. And I said, are you tithing on half a million? Like it's going to be 50,000? Or is the tithe really half a million? And they said, well, we just had a deal go through that's been sitting there for 4 years, and we finally joined your church, and then God had this deal go through for $5 million, and we want to tithe $500,000. And I'm like, thank you. And then they said, well, you taught tithing is obedience. I said, well, give an offering, and I'll thank you for that. You know, like, oh, are you kidding me? And what's amazing is the problem was in my office, and the miracle was waiting in the lobby. God brought them here 4 months earlier with a pending deal for 4 years that had been sitting there. They joined our church, and God's like, I got you. I got you. I have them. They're going to bring their gift to the table and solve a problem. And their gift that they gave us wiped out all of our credit card debt. It was all counted as tithe, and we put $250,000 into our building fund. That banker today, he still shakes his head like, I cannot believe that they literally were right there. We passed each other in the lobby. And the way I see it is God was up in heaven and he's like, hey, angels, come here, check this out. Rob's about to be devastated. But wait, just wait. The miracle's in the lobby. This is so, I set it up. It's so cool. Yeah. That's the way God works. I'm just as excited when I've been praying for a worship leader or a kids pastor or a kids leader or a lead usher or a life group leader or whoever else, because we all use our gifts. And I thank God for people that have the gift of giving. And if you have that gift, your gift is needed in this church, because your pastor has big dream and big visions to fill and grow and reach this city with more. But every gift is needed, from security to kids to anything, whatever you're using. The other day I said to our church, like, if you are like a quant jock, we want you to volunteer. I didn't even know what it was. They just said, it's a really expensive person we can't afford. So I said it. And then we found out we had a bunch of people that did that. They're like, yes, I am a quant jock. I'm like, I figured you probably would be. Anyways, and they're like really smart people with computer. And so I got all these people using all their gifts and talents. I got people that work for Target Corporation, and they're like, I want to use this here. I was sent here to solve a problem. I was here to help people have a better discipleship process. And God's sending people to solve problems. God has you here for a reason, and I don't want to miss it. You say, I wonder what they would do with my gift. They would use your gift. They would utilize your gift. They would maximize your gift. They would let that gift flourish. That's what this church does. Now, not every idea that you have is good. Sometimes you solve problems and they're amazing, and sometimes they don't always solve problems good. Think about the disciples. People are being mean to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, should we call it on fire and kill them all? He's like, nope, not a good solution. Not a good solution. All right? I had a guy in my church, he said, I can help our giving go up by a lot. And I said, how? He said, well, we take out a life insurance policy on everybody in church. And then when they die, the money comes to us. And I was like, is that legal? He's like, well, Walmart's doing it. I was like, really? All right. And they were. And they actually got in trouble for that. All right. So we're not doing it anymore. They didn't do it. We never did it. Okay. But I thought, like, it'd be a conflict of interest. Couldn't you see that? Like, if we have a $100,000 policy on you and then you're sick and you're in the hospital, we're like, well, we checked your giving records. You're worth more to us dead than alive. Take him, Lord. Take him. I mean, that's not a good place to be. Another guy go, I can increase our missions. And I said, how? He goes, I was sent here. I have a gift. I said, what is it? He goes, well, you give all the missions money to me and then I go to the casino. And I was like, I stepped back from him, like, uh-oh, lightning might hit. I said, I'm not giving you the missions money, like, to go to the casino? He goes, well, I got a system. I said, what is it? He goes, slot machines. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, like, I'm not giving you the money. So not every idea you come up with is a good idea, right? But a lot of the ideas are. All right, some of the things you need to fix. If you're a leader, have courage. Some of the things the whole team, they need to fix. Empower. Let people get stronger. Let them go through the struggle and let them help you and use their gifts. And the last one is some of the things God fixes. Some of the things God fixes. And he does what only he can do. In the book of Acts, in Acts 12, Acts 18, he's opening prison doors. He's healing people that were bit by a poisonous snake. He's helping people to get through a shipwreck. God solves the problems that only He can solve. And we thank Him for that. We give Him praise for that, because there's things that we can't fix on our own. And I'll tell you this. I showed you the picture of my family, first of all, to show you who they are, but secondly, to tie it into this miracle. Our oldest son, Connor, you saw him in the blue jacket, he was born with autism. And when I share that, people say, like, well, what kind of autism? Like, how much? Like, full autism. Like, he couldn't talk to us. He'd only parrot back things. He'd get in the locked-in thing and look at the trees and get lost in the world. Everything was a train. He'd line it up in a train. If you said with the camera, say cheese, Connor, he'd run to the refrigerator and grab a piece of cheese. If you played with a game in the living room and you asked him to play with that game again and you were in the kitchen, he'd get the game and go to the living room. He slept in a car seat because autistic kids love to be held tight. And so if we put him in the crib, he'd scream all night. If we put him in the car seat, he would sleep quietly. So we'd buckle him into the car seat and put the car seat in the crib. When he was about 2 years old, we brought him to the doctor. We said, we think this isn't normal. Can you tell us what's going on? They said, your son has autism. Wasn't what we planned for. And we cried, and then we said, all right, let's pray for healing. We believe God's a miracle-working God. Let's pray for healing. So we prayed for 2 years. I mean, we prayed and fasted and prayed for every healing you could pray for. At the end of 2 years, we said, okay, God, you're a loving God, you're a kind God, but you probably don't want to do many miracles anymore. So we're going to love you, and we're going to preach how kind you are, but not as much on how powerful you are. But we never got angry with God. We never were like this. We were always like, we love you, but you're just not being that powerful right now. So he's in special ed, and fast forward 2.5 years into this, one day in church, just like this, normal day, visiting pastor said, is there anything we can pray for today? I was about to pray for more church growth and better offerings and whatever pastors might pray for. And my wife just goes, our son has autism and we want to see him healed. And in that moment, I was like, wow, that is like tenacious mama faith. How many know what I'm talking about? She's like, our son has autism and we want to see him healed. And I'm like, yeah, what she said, we're going to pray for that today. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, we've given up on this. Like, we've tried what we can do. We've asked others to do what they can do, doctors. We thought this was one of the problems you would solve, but you haven't done anything yet, so we're not sure. In that moment, we started to pray. And that man looks at us and he says, God is telling me right now prophetically that he has heard that you've called him a loving God and a kind God. And now to show you that he's a powerful God, he's going to heal your son of autism. And so he laid hands on our son and started to pray for him. And the only thing I can tell you, it was like a Pinocchio moment. Our son that couldn't look us in the eye. I mean, it was always like, yeah, yeah. And we'd have to say, Connor, look at us. Look at, and he couldn't look, yeah, yeah. All of a sudden he looks up and goes, where are we going right now? It was like a Pinocchio moment, like he came alive. And I looked at him and God miraculously healed our son of autism. And I give him glory and praise for that. I'm telling you right now, he is like every other 26-year-old. He is just healthy and looking around and loving life and sports and praying for a wife someday. And he's just like a normal guy. And prior to that day, he was locked in and autistic. And it was just a miracle that happened. God did the thing that only he could do. The world said they can't do it. We said we couldn't do it. But God said, I got this one. I got the tough ones. We brought him into special ed the next day. We said, look what happened to Connor. His teacher, Pam, was like, I can't believe this. Look what happened to Connor. She was just like, this is amazing. She brings her boss in and she says to her boss, test him out. She tests him. She goes, what am I looking for? And she goes, he had autism. He got miraculously healed in church yesterday. And the boss goes, I don't believe in healings. And she looks at us and she goes, how dare you place a perfectly normal boy in special ed for 2 years and steal from special ed? And I said, yeah, it's every parent's dream to rip off special ed. I said, God healed my son and God gets the glory. Don't you take away this miracle. That's what I told her. And I'm here to tell you, God still does that today. There are things in the God column and you're trying to solve them. And he's like, I've got this. There are things that are in your column. And you're like, God, will you solve this? He's like, you do it. I've gifted you. There are things that others need to help you. And they'd love to use their gifts and talents, but you're hogging it or you're not believing in them. I'm not sure where they're at, but God still does the miraculous. God has given you wisdom and courage. God has given you people around you to help solve problems. It's time for us to say, God, we'll fix it. We just want to know which category it's in, and we'll fix it for your glory and for your honor. And I want to speak this too. Some people say, well, I've been praying for a miracle. I've been praying for a healing. I've been praying for a breakthrough. I can't guarantee when your miracle will come to you, but I can guarantee you this, you're going to get a miracle. Here's what I mean by that. By his stripes we're healed. What Jesus paid on the cross brought your healing, brought your miracle. It's waiting for you in heaven. That's what Revelation says. And if this is the line between now and heaven, I'm just praying what's in heaven would jump into my now, and that's why we call it a miracle. And I'm just praying God would do a big boom. Matter of fact, that's a chapter in the book called Big Boom, the big boom of releasing a miracle into our now. And if it doesn't get released into our now, we'll keep serving him faithfully because someday we'll be face to face with him and he will right every wrong and heal everything and take care of it. So as I close in prayer, I'm going to ask for an action step. When I was preaching, if you felt like, man, I'm like, I got to step up. I got to fan into flame. Like Paul said to Timothy, it's me. I need courage and wisdom to solve the problem. When I go to pray, you put your hands on your chest. You say, it's me. I got this. If you feel like you've got to give things away or you need more people on your team, you need them to step up. Either you need to learn to delegate or others need to step up. You put your hands out and say, God, help me with that. Help the team, them to solve it. And if you need a miracle, you put your hands up. You put your hands up. You say, God, I need a touch from you. And I had somebody after the service say, I needed all three. I was like head and shoulders, knees and toes. And I was like, yeah, all right, that's okay. You can do one here and one like that, all right? But we'll do an action step. So wherever you're at, go ahead, move your hands wherever that, and let's pray. Hands on you, hands out, hands up. Lord, you see these hands. Right now there are hands on people. They're saying, it's mine. I understand, God, I have a gift of leadership, and you want me to step up and have courage and wisdom to do that. I pray that they would have courage and wisdom. They would see the problems. They would attack those problems and solve them in Jesus' name. You've given them that leadership gifting. Let them solve those problems. Lord, for hands that are out, I pray for people that are saying, I need to give it away or I need my team to step up. Please, God, send us people that will help in this area. God, I pray that you would send them resources and they would learn to delegate and give away. Not every problem is theirs. And for hands that are up, I come against any doubt or any fear or any lack of faith that says it can happen to Pastor Rob, but it won't happen to me. I come against that. You're a miracle working God. Your hand is not short. You are not powerless. You are powerful. And you can still do the miracle today. You can still do the big boom today. You can break free. You can do things that the world says can't be done because you're God. And so we trust you with the big things that are beyond our control. We will never get bitter at you. We will love you. We will serve you faithfully. And we will trust you with those big things. And we thank you for that. We thank you, God, that you help us fix them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Can you put your hands down, close your eyes, and bow your head? Can I just share one last thing about fix it? The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each one of us is separated from God. In us, we know that. We kind of feel like we know that we've done something wrong. And the Bible says that we've been separated from God, but he's made a way for us to fix that problem. Many, many people think, I'll fix it by being good enough. You cannot fix this problem by being good enough. Your works won't get you into heaven. Your works won't get you forgiveness. Some of you might think, well, my mom and dad, they pray all the time. They can fix it. Or I got a brother that's in the ministry. They can fix it. I'll get into heaven that way. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The way it works is God says, I've fixed this one. I've forgiven you. I've paid the price. I sent my son Jesus to die on the cross. He came back from the dead. He rose from the dead. He's here offering you grace. You don't work for it. He has fixed it for you already. And if that's you and you say, Pastor Rob, include me in the closing prayer, I desire to say yes to Jesus. If that's you and you want to be included in this closing prayer, with every head bowed and the eyes closed, would you slip up a hand and just say, Pastor Rob, include me. This is my day. Yeah, hands going up all over the place. Hands in the front, in the back, in the stadium seating, all over the place. People saying, yeah, I need you to fix this. You can put your hands down, and I want to pray this prayer, and I want to ask those that raised your hands to pray this after me out loud. I'm going to ask that the people around you would pray it out loud with you as a form of encouragement, and then the Bible says if you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. So I want to pray this. Pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins and all that I've done wrong. I ask you to forgive me. I believe you died on the cross and rose from the dead so I could be forgiven. I receive that. And right now, today, I pledge to live for you for the rest of my life. Give me the strength to do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, I thank you for those people that prayed that prayer. It's very real. It's true. You have fixed that problem for them, and you've given them grace. May they live in that, may they celebrate that, and may they grow in that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Can we show our appreciation for the people that said yes to Jesus?